turning just now in God's Word to the first book of Samuel. Turning to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we shall begin our reading at verse 17. 1 Samuel 22, beginning at verse 17. And the king said, "Thou shalt surely die." Verse 16, "Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord." And the king said to Doeg, "Turn thou and fall upon the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. David said unto Abiathar, "I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. And as we have expressed in past nights of the mission, our great need of the fullness of the Spirit of God, and the great desire to see the Spirit of the Lord work in our tent, so tonight is no exception. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel so empty without him and without that power. And so could I ask every Christian once more to join with me in prayer now, and pray indeed that we might know the power of the Spirit of God in the ministry of the Word, in the conversion of souls, and that tonight the fire of a holy God will fall. Let us now pray to that end. O our God and loving Father, we bless thee for a sense of thy presence with us once again in this tent. We thank thee, Lord, for thy faithfulness, that, Lord, when we ask thee to be with us, Lord, we rejoice that Thou art there. We come then tonight again afresh. Lord, be with us again. The day is far spent. It is toward evening. O Lord, come and abide with us here in this tent tonight. I ask, O God, for the fullness of the Spirit of God. I pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost. I pray for the anointing of fresh oil. I pray tonight for the binding of the devil. I pray tonight that the fire of God will fall in this congregation. And, O Lord, men and women will be snatched as brands from the burning. Hell will be defeated tonight. And heaven tonight will rejoice. Men and women in the meeting need to be saved. They need Christ. They need to be redeemed. They need to be rescued. And, O Lord, Thou art the only one can do that rescuing work. So, Lord, rescue the perishing in this tent this evening. Fill me again, I pray, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Help us, Lord, tonight to preach Christ. Oh, to preach Christ. And to preach the blood and the power of the blood. In the dear Savior's name, I ask all these things. Amen. You will find our text for this evening in the last verse of this chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. In verse 22, David said to Abiathar, "Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life, thy life, seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." David's family had gathered around him and given him some moral support when David needed it most. For Saul, Israel's first king, being fired with jealousy against David, sought at every opportunity to slay David and take away his life. David then had to go on the run from Saul. And we are told in the first verse of this chapter where he ran to. Verse 1, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his family, father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." Now David's family were not always as close as this with this man. But rather, whenever in the early days of David's life, when they saw his success, they were jealous of him, just like Saul. They didn't bother much with David until they heard about Saul seeking David's life. And they heard about David running and hiding in the cave of Adullam. And that time of adversity brought the family together. Brought all his brethren together, and they went down to David into the cave of Adullam. You know, sometimes that's how adversity works. Brothers and sisters, moms and dads and their children maybe don't have much contact with each other over the years. The odd phone call here and there. But then when adversity comes, such as a funeral, such as a death, such as a serious illness, the family come together and they gather around. That's what happened with David. His life was threatened. He was hiding. in the cave of Adullam. He had a handful of men with him and the members of his family. We notice also that there was one other man, not a member of David's family, a complete outsider, an Egyptian, also heard about David hiding in the cave of Adullam. And he went down to David as well. Why did he run to David? Because the sword of Doeg, the cold, hard, steel sword of Doeg had slain 85 servants of the Lord. Under the orders of Saul, king of Israel. We just read there how other men, servants of Saul, would not dare raise a hand against the priests of the Lord. But with Doeg, he had a different spirit. He did not hesitate to go with his cold steel sword and slay 85 priests of the Lord, because those priests were friends of David. It's amazing what jealousy does, isn't it? It's amazing what jealousy will put in a man's heart and how far jealousy will take him. The jealousy in Saul's heart led him to murder. Such was his hatred for David. But then this man, Doeg, was a bloodthirsty man. For whenever he got the taste of blood, he then went on to slay others. Men, women, children. He still wasn't finished. He went on to slay cattle and sheep. So Doeg's hands were soaking, steeped, in not only the blood of animals, but in the blood of godly men, and in the blood of men and women and children. And I have come tonight to warn men, women, and young people in this tent this evening, Doeg is still wielding that sword. Doeg is still as bloodthirsty as ever. I'm talking about death. You can think about death as the sword of Doeg. Death is described in many ways in the Bible. In Exodus 12, death is described as the destroyer. That's an apt name, isn't it? The destroyer. And how death can destroy families. How death can destroy happiness and joy and pleasure and peace. And how death can come in and divide families and destroy families. Death is a destroyer. Death is described as the last enemy. So it is. My friend, you may have many enemies in this life. On the other hand, you may have one or two. But there's one enemy every one of us will face one day. It's the last enemy. Death is the last enemy. It's the last enemy we'll face in this life. Death is likened unto the sword of Doeg. He's still wielding that sword. It's been in the newspapers. It's been in the national news over these past number of days. What happened to that dear family in Dromara? All of us have been heartbroken of all thought to ourselves. How can that family bear up under such a heavy burden? We see how Doeg has come in and destroyed the peace and the tranquility and the joy and the happiness of that family. The sword of Doeg is still being used, I tell you. And I'm here to warn you. I'm here to warn you this evening. You need to flee to David's greater son. You need to flee to Jesus Christ before the sword of Doeg cuts you down as well. You know, it's easy for us to dismiss death. We seem to have this kind of notion, well, it'll not happen to me, at least not yet. You think of the number of souls that have been cut down since this mission commenced. I know people like to get the local paper or the Belfast Telegraph or the newsletter, and they like to look down the death notices to see if there's anybody they know has passed away. That page in the newspapers that always contain the death notices, there will never be a day when that page is blank. Never. Men are being cut down by the sword of Doeg every day. And someday, your name will be in that page. That's a sobering thought. Someday, your name will be recorded there. And there will be notices entered into that page by the members of your family. And the word will go out, did you hear about so-and-so? I just read it in the paper today. He died. He died yesterday. Sword of Doeg cut him down. And that sword will be wielded and will go on being wielded. But someday it will be you. Someday it will be me. That's a sobering thought. And we have sought as much as God has enabled us to be sober about these matters throughout this nearly 3 weeks of missioning. We have been sober every night. We haven't been frivolous. We haven't told any jokes. We haven't told any yarns. We haven't told any stories. We have been sober because we're dealing with sober matters. We're dealing with life and death, heaven and hell, salvation and damnation. That's what we've been dealing with. And we'll be dealing with it tonight again. And we will be telling you, by the grace of God, run from the sword of Doeg. Run to Jesus Christ before that sword cuts you down. That's what Abiathar did. He ran to David. Yes. In the cave of Adullam. In a cave. But he was glad to get there. He could hide there with David. He may have not had too many with him, but he was happy to be with David. And my friend, tonight, if you were to flee from the sword of Doeg and flee to Jesus Christ, I would guarantee you something. You'll be happy to be with Jesus Christ. And you will say this Wednesday night, was the best night of your life because you ran to Christ. You'll be able to say, I got to Jesus Christ before the sword of Doeg fell. And you need to do that. We notice here, first of all, the great destruction. Abiathar lived in the city of Nob, where King Saul, fired by jealousy and a rage, ordered the killing of all the priests in the city of Nob. You look there in the verse 18. And the king said to Doeg, turn now and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day, 85 priests fell in one day. And death is still at the same dirty business, slaying men and women. And one of her many were slain in Makrafelt this day. One day. How many souls passed into eternity? You know something I often think about in time of gospel campaigning? I often think of those faithful believers who have gone round the doors with the flyers and the invitations. Weeks before the mission commenced. And they have given an invitation to somebody who has come to the door, put it through the letterbox, an invitation to come to hear the gospel. But I often think of those who received the invitation. They didn't come. And they died before the mission ended. And I often think maybe that invitation sitting there somewhere in a cupboard or on a shelf or on a sideboard, there it sits. You were invited to come to the mission. You didn't come, and death seized you and took you away. Missed the opportunity. Missed it. Missed the opportunity. The sword fell. The sword fell upon them. They didn't accept the invitation. Now you think of something here. You think of the mercy of the Lord and how merciful the Lord has been to you. Others have passed into eternity since the mission commenced. The names of people have appeared on that death notice page. But here you are. You're still in time. You still have the opportunity. See the mercy of God. See how kind and merciful the Lord has been to you. Why have you not been taken? Why have others been taken and you're still here? Why has the sword of Doeg fallen upon others and here you are still in the tent mission, and still in time, and still in the day of grace? You could have been the one cut down. But God was merciful. My dear friend, take advantage tonight. Take advantage of this opportunity. Don't throw the mercy of God back in His face. Don't you count the mercy of God as meaning nothing. God is merciful. And He's been merciful to you. And Abiathar ran to David. And he left behind, or he escaped The massacre. 85 priests slain in one day. Men, women, and children cut down by the sword of Doeg. And that massacre still goes on unabated. Every day. You think of over the years and over the centuries. You think of the multitudes that sat under the preaching of George Whitefield. Where are they today, all cut down? You think of the thousands that sat under the ministry of C.H. Spurgeon in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. 5,000 at every meeting. Where are they today? All cut down. The thousands that sat under the ministry of D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday, where are they today? They're all cut down. The sword of Doeg has cut them all down. The hundreds and the thousands have sat in tent missions like this one over the years. And they're gone. Death has taken them all away. The sword of Doeg has slain them all. And someday, everybody who's in this tent tonight, people will look back and say they're all gone. I say that is a sobering thought. Everyone here, let me put it this way. If in 10 years, in the will of God, Mr. McRae called another tent campaign, I wonder how many of this congregation here tonight would be absent. I wonder how many in this congregation tonight would have succumbed to the sword of Doeg. And I believe you'd look here and there, and there's an empty seat there, and there's another one there. And people would say, that man, that woman was in that tent mission 10 years before, but they're gone. It'll happen. When this whole congregation, sooner or later, will be wiped out by the sword of Doeg. Where will you be? Where will your soul be? Will you run to Jesus Christ? Will you get to Christ in time? Will you escape to the Lord in time before the sword falls upon you and cuts you down? You need to get to Christ soon. You need to get to Christ immediately. You need to get to Christ now. We've all read about that tragedy. And the young man who was a promising rugby player, he was addressing some fellow rugby players 1.5 hours before. He was ushered into eternity. Ushered into the presence of the Lord, for which we're very thankful. 1.5 hours. There he was, standing, facing his fellow rugby players. 90 minutes later, he was gone. 90 minutes. And I'm sure that dear young man had planned what to do the next day and the next week. But the countdown had started. My friend, tonight you need to get to Christ. Thank God that young man had run, had already been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and he was washed in the blood of the Lamb. But are you? Are you ready? As we preached the other night, the words of Paul to Timothy, I am now ready. Are you ready? That young man never thought 90 minutes and his life would end. Where will you be in 90 minutes? Where will you be in 90 days? Will your seat be empty? Will we see you in heaven? This young man escaped the massacre and he ran to David. My friend, escape the massacre and run to Jesus. Look at this man, Doeg. There's the massacre and there's the madness of this man. Verse 19, and Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children. That's a hard-hearted man that would do the like of that. How could anyone cut down men, women, and children? Yet Doeg did it. He didn't care. He didn't care about the men or the women or the children. They were nothing to him. He'd got a taste of blood. And so he just went on cutting them down, men, women, and little children. Just like death. No respecter of persons. Still doing it today. The sword of Doeg is still in operation today, cutting down men, women, and little children. What does death care? What did Doeg care? Read there a short time ago about a young man, 17 years of age. His mother came home, went into the house, and there her 17-year-old son was lying on the floor, having choked on his own vomit. 17. What does Doeg care? Doesn't care about 17-year-olds. I have often, like Mr. McRae and other ministers, stood in a graveyard, stood over the empty grave, sought to preach the word, sought to warn men and women, since there are reminders of death all around. And I've often said to them, I want you to look at the headstones around you here in this graveyard. I want you to look at the names and I want you to look at the dates that are on those gravestones. And I want you to look at the ages of those who were cut down by the sword of death. And they're not all senior people. They're not all people in their 80s or 90s. You know that. Yes, you'll see little headstones with the names of children on them. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age. Doeg, cut them down. Teenagers, older people. It's the point we're making. Death is no respecter of persons. The sword of Doeg had no feeling. It was just made of steel. And with that sword in the hand of Doeg, it cut down men, women, and children. And Abiathar saw what Doeg was doing, and he ran. He ran for his life. He escaped the massacre, and he ran to David. My friend, tonight, I'm sure you can get the picture. I'm sure you can see it as clearly as I can. That sword will fall on you someday. And the first thing that believers will say, I wonder, was he saved? I wonder, did he get to Christ? I wonder, was he prepared to die? I wonder, was he ready to meet God? Tell me now, if the sword of Doeg were to cut you down tonight, what would people say? I know what they'd say. Well, I know that he or she attended that mission in the Moneymore Road. But whether they came to Christ or not, I don't know. And say, well, that man or that woman attended Magrath Hill Free Church, sat under the ministry of Mr. McCrae for years. But whether they ever got saved or not, I don't know. It'd be a terrible way to go, wouldn't it? It's important. My friend, it's important. It's going to happen. And you need to get to Christ. He's your only refuge. He's your only safety. He's your only salvation. He's your only Savior. You need to get to Jesus Christ. And you need to get to Him now. You need to run as fast as Abiathar ran and run to Jesus. You look there at the man, Abiathar. This young man, Abiathar, was the son of Ahimelech. Ahimelech was a friend of David's. He stood up for David. You see that in verse 14. He was the son of a man of God, and one who took his stand for God's man, namely David. He was one who loved David, this young man's father. But his son Abiathar didn't know David as his father did. People here tonight, I'm sure. You're one member of a family. Your father knows the Lord. Your father's a man of God. But you're the one in the family. And you don't know your father's God. Maybe you've resisted for years the God of your father. I remember reading a story told by George Whitfield. Whitfield told the story about a young man who had a godly father, but he hated everything his father stood for. He hated the holiness of his father, the righteousness of his father, the prayers of his father, the Bible that his father used to read. He hated everything about his father. When his father died, you know what he did? He cleared the house of everything that reminded him of his father, especially his father's favorite chair. That chair that his father used to sit in and read the Bible, That chair his father used to sit in and speak to his son about the Lord and tell him to come to Christ. That chair that the father used to sit in and pray for his son, that son hated that chair. And Whitfield says that young man got a hold of that chair when his father died, took it outside and burned it. He was so determined not to have his father's God. Now, you're not like that, are you? You wouldn't go that far. Surely you wouldn't. But whether you would go that far or not doesn't really matter, because you'll be in the same lost eternity that young man is in now and has been in for a long, long, long time. Doesn't matter. If you don't know your father's God, you'll be in a lost eternity. Is that what you want? Is that what you're striving after? Is that what you're laboring for? You want to be in a lost eternity, is that right? You want to be there where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You want to be there in that place that the Lord described as a bottomless pit. Bottomless. Bottomless. Cast into that pit and you'll go on falling and falling and falling and falling in the darkness. So what do you want? Surely you don't. That's not what you want. Of course you don't. So this night, run to Christ. Abiathar made his way to David. I exhort you to make your way to Jesus Christ tonight. He ran to David. That was a good decision. For every house in the city of Nob had been visited by the sword of Doeg. Where was Abiathar to go? Where could he find refuge? An opportunity in the slaughter presented itself to him, and he ran from that city, and he ran as an orphan. His family all dead. He was friendless. Where could he go? He went to David. That was the path that he took. Wasn't a popular path. Seemed as though the whole nation had turned against David. Wasn't popular to be associated with David. But Abiathar didn't really worry about that. He didn't care. He needed to get to David if he was going to be safe. If the sword of Doeg didn't catch up with him, he had to get to David. And you know, I know, being a Christian today, it's not a popular thing. Sure, it's not. It's not popular to be a Christian. It's not popular to belong to Jesus Christ. Maybe that's what's troubling you. That's what's annoying you. That's what's the problem that you have with receiving the Lord Jesus. You know what the boys at the pub will say to you if you give your heart to the Lord tonight. You know what the boys in work will say to you. You say they're a rough crowd. They'll make fun of me. They'll laugh at me. Sure, what does that matter? Are you not man enough to stand up to their laughter? Are you not courageous enough to stand up to their mocking? I would rather have the laughter and the mocking of the world and the ungodly than spend an eternity in the fires of hell. Which would you rather have? My friend, why don't you tonight stand up, be courageous, be the man, and receive Christ as your Savior? I know the world looks upon Christians as being very weak, you know. Oh, you can always walk over a Christian. He'll not do anything. Now you can laugh at a Christian, not say anything. So what would you have in your mind? You don't want to be looked upon as some weak individual. Let me tell you something. Maybe you haven't thought of it this way. It takes a man to be a Christian. It takes courage to be a Christian. That's what it takes. Anybody can run with the world. Anybody can run with the crowd. Don't need to be courageous to do that. You don't need to be brave to do that. Prove to me tonight that you're strong and you're courageous and you're brave by taking Jesus Christ as your Savior. Making him your Lord and your Savior and your friend. Do what Abiathar did. He ran to David. And the text tells us, David said, "Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." There's the person he trusted. He trusted David. It was not good. Young man, running from the sword of Abiathar, or the sword of Doeg, family all cut down, friends all slain, men, women, and children, blood flowing in the streets. And he ran to David, and he put his trust in David. He could have run anywhere else, he could have went and hid somewhere else, but he ran to David. He put his trust and his faith in David. He knew David would keep him. He knew David would save him from the sword of Doeg. Now, why don't you do the same? Why don't you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Put your trust in Christ tonight. As Abiathar believed that David would save him, as Abiathar believed that David would keep him, as Abiathar believed that David would protect him, you run this night to Christ and put your trust in Jesus Christ. He'll save you. He'll keep you. He'll protect you. He'll stand with you. He'll be everything you need. Praise his name. I love him tonight. I know what he's like. He's been with me for years. I know this man, Christ Jesus. I know how true he is and how faithful he is. I know how loving he is and caring he is and tender he is and kind. I know how strong he is. I know that he's mighty. I know he's able to defeat every enemy that he has and I have. That's the person you want. You need to escape the sword of Doeg. Get that into your heart tonight. You need to escape. You need to run to Christ before the sword of Doeg cuts you down. Now, Abiathar ran to David. With this I'll close. He ran to David. Where was David? He was in a cave. The cave of Adullam. And whenever he ran to the cave of Adullam, he experienced a great deliverance. Look at the words again. Abide thou with me. Fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. With me abideth thou, you'll be safe. How comforting that must have felt, must have been. Abideth thou, whenever you're with me, you'll be safe. Oh, I know. Saul has commanded Doeg to go out and slay men, women, and children. But he's after me too. Abiathar, you and I are in this together. We're in it together. We're in the fight together. We're in the battle together. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to have somebody who's in the battle with you? Isn't it great to have someone who's in the fight with you? You're not left to fight alone. You're not left to battle alone. And when you come to face the last enemy, Christ, glory to his name, will be right there with you as you face the last enemy. Now, you couldn't get anything better than that. And he went to the cave called Adullam. You know what Adullam means? Adullam means resting place. How appropriate. Resting place. There he was, running scared of the sword of Doeg. Scared, scared. He was as scared of losing his life. And he ran to Adullam, the resting place. What made the cave of Adullam a resting place? David was there. He found rest. I don't exhort you to run to the cave of Adullam, but I do exhort you to run to the cross of Calvary. That's a resting place. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Listen, listen, and I will give you rest. Now what David said to Abiathar, fear not. You don't need to fear death anymore. You're with me. Glory to God. When you're with Jesus Christ, you don't need to fear death anymore. Because Jesus is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Get to the place of rest tonight. Escape death. Escape the sword of Doeg. Run from the destroyer. Run for safety and refuge to Jesus Christ and escape the sword of Doeg. And the Lord will give you peace. The Lord will say, fear not. It's all right. You're with me now. Praise the Lord. You're with me now. We'll not only be with Christ during life. Sure, we'll be with Christ for all eternity. What about it? What about making your way to Jesus Christ tonight? Do what Abiathar did when he ran to David. Run tonight to Christ, to the place of rest, to the place where you'll find peace, to the place where you'll find protection. For David said, it's all right. Abiathar, you're with me now. What a wonderful thought. Would you come to Christ tonight? Remember, the Lord's been merciful. The Lord's been kind, gracious. He's kept you to this moment to give you an opportunity. Will you seize that opportunity? I trust you do. I pray you do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Another night of gospel preaching has come to an end. Another night of this mission. Three more meetings left. 2.5 weeks have gone. Coming near the end. Near the end. It's time for you to make your way to Jesus Christ. You need to escape the sword of Doeg. Here's an opportunity for you to do that tonight. Just like to say in the closing minutes of this meeting, as in other nights, as we've said, if God has spoken to your heart, you'd like to be saved, you'd like to run to Jesus, and God has dealt with you this evening, you don't want to die in your sin. Well, here's the opportunity given to you now, presented to you, offered to you. Will you take it? God's people be praying now that you'll take the opportunity. And I will just appeal to you now. If God has spoken to your heart and you'd like to be saved this evening, would you do something? Something very simple. Wherever you are in the meeting, would you just slip up your hand? When I see that raised hand, I'll acknowledge it and you take it down. And we'll remember you in the closing prayer. It'll indicate to us you'd like to be saved. It'll indicate to us you want to escape the sword of Doeg. And after the meeting's over, we'll spend time together, just you and me, around the Word. Show you how tonight you can be safe. You can be saved. You'll find a refuge in Christ. Now, what about it tonight? Let's see your hand right now. There's someone tonight in the service, quickly. Come, my friend, come to the Savior tonight. Let me see that hand. Just slip it up high enough that I can see it, then you take it down. Is there one anywhere in the meeting? Surely you can't walk out tonight without the Lord. God's people are praying. Spirit of God is working. God is speaking. Let's see that hand now, quickly. That's right, anywhere in the meeting. If you haven't raised your hand, maybe you did and I didn't see it. I'll be at the door tonight. Just have a wee quiet word with me at the door. Just say, preacher, could I have a word with you? That's all. That's all you need to say. And we'll go over to the little cabin. We'll show you from the Bible how you can go away from this tent tonight saved by the grace of God and know it. May God have mercy and save your soul tonight.